The smarts in here, yeah.
Yo, it's your boy Sean Puff. I'm here with Mike K, and this is a special edition of Smarks, Spot Monkeys, and Super Geeks. What's the deal, Mike?
What's happening, man?
Nothing much, just getting ready for night two of Mania, and chilling back, getting my moonshine ready for tonight. I don't know if the moonshine last night, I know you read my review, but I don't know if the moonshine was what made me enjoy the rest of that show so much, or if it just got better. I'm not quite positive yet.
Maybe a combination of both.
Might have been a combination of both. But, so, day one of Mania is in the books. It was kind of crazy. A lot of different looks of things, and I think it started out slow and got better. I was very disappointed with the opening match. But I think it got better as it goes along. What are your overall... Give me your overall thoughts on the first night before we get into breaking down what happened on the show.
I thought it was, for what it was, I mean, I think it was fine. It was okay. I didn't think it was anything spectacular. I mean, you could definitely see there were some parts that kind of didn't it didn't really like benefit from having a crowd, and then other parts that would have been nice if they had a crowd. So overall, I think you guys' review is pretty much right on. I would have probably given it, for the first night, I would have probably given it a 3 out of 5. If I was doing out of 10, right? I mean, if I was doing out of 5 Bibles like you guys normally do, I think 3 out of 5 is pretty accurate.
Probably. What's funny? I don't even know. What did our total rating come out to of that show? Had to be about that.
Thank you guys. We're pretty much right around the same area.
Yeah. It was a good show. I had fun watching it. Tonight, I'll tell you what, if the Boneyard match is anything like what the
Firefly
Funhouse match is going to be, that's going to be great.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think that'd be interesting to see how that's going to work out.
I mean, I'm thinking they're going to do something much like that, because it was something done on location, like not at the performance center.
Yeah. So you gave it a 2 out of 5. You gave it a 2.5 out of 5. Brody gave it a 3 out of 5.
Okay.
So I think you guys are pretty much, I think you're right around the same area. There were a couple things I thought were a little bit better that you guys didn't like.
He liked it a lot more than me in some things. He gave some extra points to things that I probably wouldn't have. Let's get right into this and rip the card down. I already ran a commercial right after the intro. So, it was, I don't know why she said goodnight. My girlfriend's weird. I don't know, it was an interesting night. So I thought, let's start out with the pre-show. So the pre-show came on. The biggest thing I enjoyed about the pre-show, there was no Sideshow Bob.
Yeah, that, and it was kind of more of a studio, so it wasn't really like, the people have a panel or whatever, they're talking to each other.
Yeah, because you're not there in the arena, so there was no need for that. They did a whole studio thing.
Right, which I didn't mind about. I was fine with that.
Yeah, it was cool. I don't know how I feel about, what's his name, Paul Rosenfeld or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
He's all right. Rosenfeld, whatever, the Jew.
Whatever his name is.
The Jew guy.
Yeah, not any time, though.
The Jew guy. I don't know how I feel about him. I don't hate him. I'll tell you that. He's not freaking Sideshow dipshit.
Yeah, true.
But I guess he did all right. I mean, he kept the pre-show going. It wasn't one of those things that you're like, oh, you gotta go back and make sure you watch the pre-show. I was disappointed with the pre-show match to an extent. I feel like on paper, those two guys are incredible and could put on a 5-star match all day, any day.
Yeah, I agree with that. I didn't like the fact that I don't really see the point of having Drew Gulak lose.
Yeah. I didn't either. I don't understand why they did that. I don't understand why it went 4 minutes. Even if you're going to have Gulak lose, you don't do it in a glorified squash.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was technically sound. It was a good match for the time that they gave it, but it deserved way more time.
I agree.
Going back to what we said earlier, you would have been better with Elias Corbin in that spot and giving Drew Gulak more time on the main show.
I agree. What does it made more sense? It kind of made more sense that way, and like he kind of that whole storyline fits together with the IC title and Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn. Like, you could have done something with that stuff on the regular show. You didn't have to. It was kind of pointless to be on the pre-show.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think it was kind of, especially since you were just gonna have well, pretty much squash him anyways. It was like, well, then that was kind of dumb. You just did it just to do it.
Yeah, they just felt like they just did it just to do it. Yeah, 100% felt.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're gonna do it, then if you're gonna have Cesaro win, you could have continued the whole thing with like Sami Zayn, Cesaro, and Shinsuke like winning by like nefarious means. You know, they keep getting involved in each other's matches, helping each other win. You could have kept telling that story. I just found it kind of pointless to have Cesaro just win randomly on a pre-show match.
I guess, but I mean, I'm glad that they're not burying Cesaro. I'm sick of Cesaro being buried.
I'm fine. That was fine. It's like, if you're going to have Cesaro win, I would have Cesaro win by, like, not cheating, but, like, heel tactics. You know what I mean? Because it still keeps Drew Gulak. Like, you basically just kind of squashed Drew Gulak.
No, it was even a weird finisher. Like, he didn't beat him with his finisher. He just beat him with a what the hell was it? Airplane spin.
Yeah, exactly. It's a weird finish, too.
When is the last time someone won a match with an airplane spin?
It was a weird night with finishes anyway.
A lot of the night, yeah. It was a very weird night with finishes. But whatever, it was a good, like I said, it was a decent match for the short time they gave it. I think it could have been way better if they gave it more time and if they let it live up to what it should have been.
Agreed. I think it should have been on the regular card. I didn't like those on a free show.
I agree with you there. Absolutely. I still can't get over the no crowd thing.
It is weird. It's great to watch.
Also, so did you watch the whole pre-show?
No. Not really the whole pre-show. Not really.
How did Rosenbaum, Rosenfeld, Rosen whatever, how did he botch one of his conversations? It was recorded. You couldn't I forget what he said, but he called something something and then corrected himself right afterwards.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because they wanted to give it that, like, live feel, even though we all know it was taped, maybe?
But it was in a studio, so it doesn't have that live feeling because it's in the studio and not like at the PC. If they did the pre-show standing on the ramp at the PC in the PC, I could see that. You're giving it more of the live feel with a little botch in his talk and leave it be. But it was in a studio. It should have been fixed. I felt like there should have been no botches at all. Like there should have been. It should have been the most sound card that we have seen in WWE history.
He said that yesterday. He said that yesterday on the podcast.
Yeah. And then in the pre-show, I hear that voice box. I'm like, you guys didn't fix that?
Yeah, I hear you. And there were a couple botches throughout the night. I'm like, really? Like, yeah, that happened?
There were a couple times where you could tell that they redid something.
Yeah.
And I'll get into that as we tear this apart. Let's go with the first match. So, to start out, can you want to tell me what in God's name was Gronk wearing?
No idea.
What the? I was just like, what the hell is this?
Number one, what was Gronk wearing? I didn't, like, I don't know if it was just me, but I felt like the beginning of the show,
uh-huh,
was like 15 minutes to go.
Maybe.
Like, the whole beginning part of it, like that whole, like, voiceover with the fake Jack Sparrow.
Oh my God, it was. That was so long. It was so long.
I thought there was something wrong. Like, I thought there was something wrong with the service. Like, maybe I hit a button or something and restarted it. So, like, I literally turned it off and turned it back on again. So, like, see, maybe I was just, like, way behind or something. But it was still going when I turned it back on. I'm like, how is it still going?
Yeah, it was.
This guy's still talking.
It was the longest intro ever to anything ever in life.
It was, like, 10 minutes long.
It was.
I'm like, why is he with this fake Jack Sparrow, like, voice? I'm like, dude, you're not Johnny Depp. We know you're not Johnny Depp. Why do we have this fake pirate voice over?
A lot of people didn't know that it wasn't Johnny Depp. I'll tell you that.
Well, of course they did, because people are dumb.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp's not doing a voice over for WrestleMania.
Hey, why not?
They pay him a shit ton of money.
Why not? They got that Saudi money. They could easily pay Johnny Depp.
I suppose, but I doubt it was actually him.
I mean, think about it. They didn't have to pay someone to sing the national anthem this year, so they had the extra money to go around.
I guess that's true. They just replayed all of the America the Beautifuls from, like, years past.
Yeah, they're like, oh, sweet, we don't got to pay, like, Chris Brown to be here this year.
No, that's true.
So they could have given Jack Sparrow that Mania money to do that, but no, I'm pretty positive it wasn't him.
But it took fucking forever to get going. Like, Jesus, man. Let's go already.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I was like, Jesus, can we start this sometime today? Be kind of cool if we did.
Yeah.
So let me tell you this.
It would have played better if you were actually in Tampa.
It would have.
Like, you're not in Tampa.
Yes, absolutely. So let's go back. I'm going to go back to that initial match. I gave that pre-show match a 2.5 out of 5 Bibles.
Yeah.
And I think it could have been better if they gave it more time. I think those two, if you give them a full 15-minute slot, they're going to put on a great match. But
I agree.
They didn't allow them to do it.
Yeah. I still think Drew Gulak should have won. I didn't like the fact that Cesaro got the win.
Me neither, and bad finish, number one. It was just a bad finish to that. Then we get into the first match. This match should have been great, too. Alexa, Nikki Cross, Asuka, Kairi Sane. These women are all incredible. But they just look like crap. They didn't look good at all.
I agree. And also, I didn't like the fact that this was, like, one of those things where you had no crowd. So you could hear everything that Kairi Sane and Asuka were saying. So they were, like, just speaking and yelling Japanese, like, all the time.
I don't mind that. Like, that adds to it, that they're, like, yelling stuff in Japanese. That's, like, one of the only... I'd rather that than when they're yelling at each other in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, when they're yelling in English, when Braun Strowman fights Goldberg, he's like, get up, Goldberg! Get up! I'm like, aren't you, like, giving everything away by moving around the ring and yelling to give up? He knows right where you are.
Yeah.
So you're...
Yeah, I know. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
It takes away from the psychology when you can hear them yelling at each other.
I say the same thing when you can hear Michael Cole, like, yelling from the freaking announce table.
Yeah.
At somebody in the rain. Like, oh, look out behind you. Like, dude.
Speaking of hearing people yelling things in the ring, I know this is a little off topic, so I'm going to sidebar with this. This morning, I watched a really bad version of it, so I'm going to have to watch it again. But the New Jack story on the Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
It was a really choppy version. Someone recorded it and put it on YouTube. So, like, you'd miss before it would go to a commercial. You'd miss, like, a few seconds. Then when it come back to a commercial, you would miss some. It ended, like, before it really ended. It was, like, they're giving the ending. They're like, and New Jack did. Boom. I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, all this.
Yeah, you gotta find. I did the same thing. I actually found it on, like, the Viceland, whatever site that is that it actually comes from. I found it on there. Was able to kind of watch it.
I'll have to do that. They have it on their website.
Yeah, I think whoever has been putting these things on.
Yeah, it's Vice. Vice TV.
Yeah, it's Vice. Yeah, Vice TV. I was able to find it on Vice TV and actually watch it there. So it was much better.
Okay, I'll have to look that up.
Something happened with the YouTube version. I agree. I started watching. I'm like, oh, why is this thing all weird? And I
The first one I found, the voice was off from the picture.
Yeah.
Then the next one I found, I noticed like halfway through that it was giving me those issues. So I was like, ah, fuck.
Yeah.
But whatever. Yeah,
but it was very good. Kind of a sidebar. Maybe that's a topic for a different day. I thought it was really good though.
Yeah. Maybe next week, like, because Mania will be over and things are going to start to like really slow down. We'll discuss Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
I like that. We can discuss a couple of those episodes. We'll do the Dark Side of the Ring episode. The Dark Side of the Smarks, we'll call it.
Yeah, because the Blue Jack one was nuts.
Yeah.
That guy is nuts.
Don't confuse next week's episode with our final Mania review that we'll do at some point tomorrow. Next week's full episode, we'll get into that. Maybe we'll drop a couple during the week and just review a couple different ones. I ain't got shit to do. I'm straight locking down until April. I'm coming out of lockdown the 19th. I will not leave my house until the 19th.
All right, good luck on that.
Yeah, what do you mean? I don't got nothing to go. Where am I going? What am I going to do?
I don't know.
If I leave my house, I'll go for a ride in my car. That's it. But I'm not going to, like, go anywhere and, like, contact people. They're saying that within the next 7 days, it's going to reach its peak in New York, New Jersey, Florida, and maybe California, maybe, or D.C. There was, like, four places or three places that they say it's going to peak. And then Massachusetts, within the following week, it's supposed to peak. So I'm going to stay in through this peak and let it get through that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so we'll be able to rip into that. But anyway, let's get back into this match. This match should have been an easy four-star match, and it wasn't that at all. I was very disappointed. No. The ending just kind of happened, and
it was definitely botchy, kind of.
Did you notice when Kairi Sane went for the insane elbow off the top rope? They completely cut to another cut of that.
Yeah. Yep, I didn't notice that.
Like, they showed her jump off and hit the elbow. And then she, like, rolled for the pin, and you could just tell, just from the way that they edited it and cut it, maybe not everybody, but I could tell, being someone that does editing, I could tell that that was cut, and it wasn't a smooth into the one count from the ref. I could tell it. I felt it, and I saw it, and I heard it, and I knew that they cut from when the elbow hit to the actual pin. So I don't know what happened there, but there was definitely a cut in that.
That might be why it seemed so botchy, too, at the end.
Maybe, but that ending just came out of nowhere. Like, she didn't even hit a finisher, did she?
Well, Bliss hit the Twisted Bliss on the back of...
I couldn't even tell that she hit Twisted Bliss. It just didn't, like, that... Again, so let's talk... Let's go back to me saying that there shouldn't have been any botches and we shouldn't have missed anything, but that was completely missed, and it wasn't good enough for me to be able to look and know, oh, she hit Twisted Bliss.
Yeah, it definitely was weird. It was a weird, botchy ending. To me, I thought it was.
And again, the no fans just took so much away from the end of that match.
Right, exactly.
So I wasn't really impressed at all with that. I think the most exciting thing at this point, I'm going to say until we get to like the ladder match, the most exciting part of Mania was Gronk's outfit.
Well,
we'll discuss that multiple times because that outfit, I don't know what the hell he was thinking.
Yeah, not that, but I think he obviously was wearing glasses so that he didn't have to, we could read the prompter and not have to, like, not get in trouble. Not look like he was reading.
Yeah, yeah.
He definitely was reading everything he was saying.
Oh, you could tell. He just sounded clunky and...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's whatever, though.
Yeah.
Someone pointed that out. So I think Destiny pointed it out in my Apostles chat. She was like, why does he sound so not smooth? Or I forget the exact word she used, but basically she said not smooth.
Yeah, because he's reading. He's reading the freaking prompter.
Yep.
And like trying to, and also trying to look cool at the same time.
So I gave that really, I gave that women's tag match a 2.25 out of 5 Bibles.
Yeah, I mean, I did call it. I told us they were going to give them the belt.
Yeah, you got that one. I mean, let's... I got them over here. Let me find this. Let me pull this up here. Let's see where we sat, actually.
That's pretty much the only one I think I got right, because we both had two Gulak.
We both took Gulak, so we were wrong there. Then we... I took the Kabuki Warriors. You took Cross and Bliss, so...
Yep. Cross and Bliss won that.
Let me mark these.
Because I figured they were going to do, because it seemed logical. I was like, all right, well, they're going to do, you know, it's natural. And they may still do it. They may still do Asuka and Shayna.
They're not, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let's get on. Let's move on with this right now. We'll get back to that when we get to that. We'll transition there. Next match on the card was Elias versus King Corbin. I get why they didn't put this on the pre-show, because no one, like, let me tell you something. If this match is on the pre-show, I am not buying Mania.
Probably not. Yeah, it's true.
You know, if I wasn't watching Mania and I was like, there's nothing else on. Oh, what's this? Oh, WrestleMania is still happening tonight? I haven't watched wrestling in a while. Oh, this is a pre-show match? Oh, these two? Now I know why I haven't watched wrestling in a while.
Yeah.
At least Gulak and Cesaro, even though it was way too short and should have had a better ending, at least if I was watching that match as someone who hasn't watched wrestling in a while or a casual fan, it's like, oh, wow, that wasn't that bad. It was a little short, but it's just the free. It's the free show. So it's going to be better than that on Mania. And it might get me to buy it.
Yeah.
But this match was just shit. This was horrible. Yeah. Maybe it's me. Because I might be the only one that can't get behind anything that has Corbin involved in it.
Well, he's definitely like, he's become like a, he's back to being a mid-card jobber.
Yeah, he's the worst. Like, nobody likes him. I mean, I got what I expected a guitar shot. I told you that was going to happen. I knew that he was going to eat the pin. But that's the point of being a king, right? And I said this in my write-up. If you're the king, you can lose. It's like having money in the bank.
This is true. Right.
You can beat the king all day long. You can beat Mr. Money in the Bank all day long because he's still the king and he's still Mr. Money in the Bank. That's what that is.
Yeah. I forgot about the fact that he had beat up Elias like 2 weeks ago or whatever.
Yep.
And as a result, like, couldn't. So he wasn't around. I was like, oh, should I even think about that?
Yeah.
Never mind. So. Of course, Elias is winning because he hasn't been here in like 2 weeks. So, like, yeah.
I did say that. You just ignored it when I said it.
Oh, no, I missed it.
Yeah, you just weren't listening to me. It's all good. That happens.
Corbin, we always tend to just, like, give Corbin random wins when he's not supposed to win.
Yeah, no, they do. But this one went to Elias. I got this one. You didn't. I gave this one 1. And as I said, I'm going to quote myself. Not the best, but not the worst.
Right.
If there was a crowd here, it would have went, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave that one a 1. So that's where I was there. Then we get to the first women's title match, the Raw women's title match between Daman Becky Lynch and the submission magician, Shayna Baszler. Another thing that maybe I'm the only one, and maybe this is me showing my age, but every time I hear the submission magician, I think of that skit from back in the day with the Jerky Boys. The Egyptian magician! I have one snake. I charm snake, and he gets mad. I play doo 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 doo, and he no like, and he bite me in the eye. Every time I hear submission magician, I think of that, the Egyptian magician getting bit in the eye by a snake. So,
this is obviously
Vince hates Shayna.
Yeah, Vince just does not like Shayna Baszler.
She was supposed to take this.
It sucks because she doesn't like. For some reason, Vince is stupid and doesn't like her because she's not hot. She's not blonde. She doesn't like guys.
She doesn't get over with the crowd though. She just doesn't. She doesn't. The crowd doesn't care. She's had these great matches. What do you mean? She carried that woman's strap in NXT for how long? Nobody cares about her still.
NXT was good.
But nobody cared about her still.
Yeah, I just think it's, I don't know. He just doesn't like her.
Sure, but I think it's she can't get over and that kills her.
Yeah.
Seriously, she can't get over.
I think she's female Brock Lesnar.
She's not charismatic. She's not Ronda Rousey.
I get it. And I get why people are going that route, but then why did you bring her up? Why did you have her dominate the Elimination Chamber? And why do you have her in this feud with Becky Lynch if you're just going to have her lose anyway?
Well, they kind of did it. I mean, they copied something they did before.
Yeah, but they should have just, had her, I don't know, have a mid-card feud for a while. Don't put her in the title, picture right away. If you don't think she's over yet, and so you can build her up.
Well, they already committed to her with her winning the Rumble, and then Vince didn't like how it went after that.
She didn't win the
Rumble. Oh, you're right.
She lost the Rumble.
So yep.
Don't bring her up. If you didn't have her to lose, she didn't win the Rumble. It's like, all right, well, now that she don't think she should be, she's main event material. But then don't just put her in the Elimination Chamber. Have her just destroy everybody in that to give her the title shot, only then turn around and lose at Mania. It's like, you're not doing anything to help the situation. If you don't think she's over, I get it. Then don't put her in situations if you don't think she's over.
Yeah, don't put her as the girl going for everything when you don't think she's worthy of it.
Right.
But here's the thing. Where were you going to go with that? Listen, there was nobody else.
You could have easily done a mid-card feud. She could have beat up Natalya for weeks.
But who fights Becky at Mania?
You could have put anybody in there.
Nope. Doesn't matter. None of those matches. None of those matches matter. You had to go this route. You led to it.
Your intention all along was to have Becky win.
Yeah.
It wasn't, though.
The intention was to have Shayna win, but Vince soured on her. Of course he did. Vince soured on her after the chamber. After that chamber match, when nobody cared, he was, but they convinced him.
He was sour on her at the Rumble. He didn't care even at the Rumble.
Sure, because she was supposed to win the Rumble. But then they convinced him to, all right, watch. We'll show you. And he's all right, let's put her in the chamber and see what she does in the chamber. We'll have her win and go through everybody and go on to Becky and we'll see what happens. And Vince wasn't impressed with it, which I get because nobody cared. The crowd was booing and not booing her, booing the match.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Like they weren't, she wasn't getting, she got X-Pac heat in that match. Like, she wasn't getting booed because it was the heel that was the crowd hated. It was like she wasn't getting the crowd going. They were booing because the match sucked.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I agree. I know.
And Vince saw that and was like, no, I'm done. She can't take this title. And they stayed with Becky, which I disagree with. I can't stand the man. And she needs to go away. And at one time, I loved her. I thought Becky was great. I was all about this whole thing. And then they went... we went right and they went left, and left was not the right way to go because it just turned into a bunch of crap and it's just not any good. So
I don't know where the hell to go from here.
Get rid of her. She needs to go away. Go away. Learn to move.
She's a champ. She's not going anywhere now.
Lose the belt to somebody.
For to go away and lose.
I know.
It made more sense. Oh, she goes away. She loses. She goes away. She comes back later on.
Yeah.
Shayna just dominate for a while, bring Becky back. But that's the obvious move to make, but you chose not to do it that way.
Now the obvious move to make is to put Shayna Baszler with Mia Yim and have them be a tag team.
Or whatever. But either way, you still need to do something. Now who's Becky going to
fight?
Feud with now.
I don't know. Bring somebody up from NXT or from NXT UK.
Now, like
Tony Storm. Give me Tony Storm in America.
Yeah.
Make all the basement dwelling dweebs in the IWC jack off in their bedrooms and give us Tony Storm on Raw.
I just didn't agree with it. I didn't like the ending.
I thought the ending was weak. They did that before with Shayna Baszler. Who did she lose the NXT title to that way? Kairi Sane. Right.
Was it Kairi Sane?
It was Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
And then she got it back from Kairi Sane. She beat Kairi Sane like that. Kairi Sane beat her that same exact way. She got her in the Kikita clutch and she rolled it into a pinfall and got the quick pin on her.
Yeah, that seems to be like a common theme whenever people have that finisher. That's how Samoa Joe loses all the time, too.
Mm-hmm. You'd think someone would learn how to counter that.
Yeah, but it's just a weak. It's just a weak finish.
Well, yeah.
It shows you don't have any creativity when it comes to finishes.
And are you surprised that the WWE is showing you that they have no creativity when it comes to finishes?
Yeah, I know. I'm not surprised.
That's just WWE. That's par for the course.
Yeah. That's true.
That's like being surprised that Wendy's chili isn't great when it's made with the old meat that sits on the grill until they can't cook it anymore and they throw it in a pan and make chili later. no shit, it's not good.
Yeah, I didn't like that finish. I don't see the point in it.
Me neither. I gave it 2 stars. Moody liked this match. He really liked this match. He gave it 3.25 stars.
It was all right. I mean, the match wasn't...
The in-ring psychology was good. They put on a good match. But Shayna Baszler just isn't intriguing enough. And Becky Lynch, the shine has worn off. The shine has worn off of Becky Lynch in this gimmick, and it did it a long time ago. So it's just, I couldn't get invested into it because of my feelings towards the characters. And I think that's the biggest problem. Outside of the fact that the fans in the arena, which I said yesterday, tend to seem to be a issue with the show now that we understand the full importance of the fans to the product, seeing what's going on now. The characters, I just can't get invested in Shayna Baszler's character because she doesn't really have a character. What's her character? She's an MMA fighter?
Yeah.
That's
it. No different than she's Brock Lesnar.
She has no charisma. Well, if she's Brock Lesnar, give her a mouthpiece.
Yeah, that's probably what she needs. She's a mouthpiece.
You know what I mean? Just let her go out and beat ass and kick ass. She doesn't need to cut promos and talk and do any of that. You need someone to boost her up. And that's what she's missing.
She needs a mouthpiece. She's Brock Lesnar. That's what she is.
And Becky Lynch needs to just be quieted.
Well, Becky Lynch, they had an opportunity to do that, but then they decided to keep the belt on it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's dumb.
It's like, well, all right, here's your opportunity to give, like, to give Becky the time to go and rehash. You could have had Shayna beat the crap out of her and basically just squash her.
Yeah.
You know?
It would have been great.
Go to Becky get rehashed anyway.
And maybe their plan is eventually to do that, but maybe Vince just wasn't ready to pull the trigger on Shayna, and he wants to do a couple things with her. Maybe he thinks we need to give her a mouthpiece or give her her crew and have her crew have something to do with it. Who knows? Let's see where they go with it. But I didn't like this. I'll tell you that.
Give her Paul Heyman.
I guess you could, but I don't feel right with doing it with Paul Heyman because he's already with Brock. You got plenty of guys around that you could put her with. You got plenty of new managers coming up. Robbie E., who's now Robert Stone in NXT. Stokely Hathaway, who's now Malcolm Bivens in NXT. You got guys that are going to come up.
Give her Selena Vega. I don't know.
That'd be fun.
I don't know. Give her somebody.
Anybody. Help this woman.
Anybody, right. Just give her a mouthpiece. Yeah.
So then from there, I busted out my strawberry moonshine and lemonade because I needed it at this point. Then we get Sami Zayn and Daniel Bryan. I thought this would be a good match, too. And I feel like in any normal situation, this would be a good match. Probably the best match to this point. How's that? I'll give you that. Up to this point, that was the best match, but that's like saying you're the best beta.
Cool.
We all know betas sucked, right? I meant Beta Theta Pi. Remember Beta Theta Pi?
Uh-huh.
That's like saying you're the best beta.
This match pretty much went what I thought was going to happen. A lot of, like, outside interference, a lot of, like, distraction.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. I just didn't like the finish of it because I was like, I don't know, he just got kicked in the face and got pinned.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not even his finisher. Like, it's not quite his finisher. They're like,
oh, no, it's the Huluva kick. Yeah, he called it the Huluva kick. But again,
no, it's not.
Why don't you retake that and have him hit it better? And
right, exactly.
You had the time to do it.
Right, you could have had him run up and do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he just put his foot up there and just nailed him, and then that was it. I'm like, what kind of crappy finish.
Yeah.
Well, you could have done better than that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was...
But, again, it ended exactly... The outcome was exactly what I thought it was going to be. You knew Sami was going to win by some nefarious means, which he pretty much did. I just thought he could have cheated a little bit more.
Yeah.
And kind of being Daniel Bryan kind of clean. Because really, you had Daniel Bryan and Drew Gulak both lose clean. Doesn't do well for this new crew that you're kind of trying to put together.
Well, I kind of thought that Daniel Bryan, I don't know, I think that's they're going to build off of it, and those two are going to have a big feud up probably at the end of this all.
I agree, too. Yeah, they should.
Maybe Drew Gulak turns heel and joins up with those guys in the end.
Maybe.
I don't know. We'll
see. I don't know. But yeah, I just thought that finish was weird. I didn't like the finish of it. I liked everything else about that match except for the finish.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good match. They definitely went out there and they put on a great match. Again, this is another match that I think suffered from a lack of crowd.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think if we had a crowd there, it would have sounded better. It would have came across better and would have been. And I said that in my review. I said, I feel like this match was better than I'm going to give it credit for, and I think it was due to the lack of crowd. So I gave it 2.75. It might have been a 3.25, 3.5 match had there been a crowd there to really get into it. I felt it was kind of short, and that ending was just kind of flat.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Then we get this ladder match. Yeah. Then next up we have this triple threat tag team ladder match that turned into singles. Now, why did this happen? Was this just because Miz decided he wasn't coming?
Miz got hurt. No, Miz got hurt.
He got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt on Friday's SmackDown for whatever reason. Although I'm not really sure how. I'm guessing that he got hurt at some point in time when they taped it. And then, one of those things where it's like, he got hurt, but he probably was questioning whether or not he really wanted to go, and then kind of got hurt, and they kind of just used it as, all right, then fine, we'll just take you out. You know, we'll just take you out.
Yeah.
Like, it was probably one of those things. You probably didn't want to actually go to...
I'm so mad. I changed my prediction to Jimmy pulling the titles down and agreed with you because I heard that Miz was hurt, and I figured, well, they're going to have to take the belts off of him if he's hurt. I guess he's not hurt that bad.
Yeah, but then my guy actually should have changed it the other way because as soon as I realized it was a triple threat, that they were taking the... that they were just going to go singles.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, damn, the Usos aren't winning now.
Fair enough.
Jimmy Uso's not going to beat Morrison and freaking Kofi Kingston.
Jimmy Uso always takes the loss.
Right, exactly. So I'm like, ah, damn. But I didn't realize it until afterwards. But like,
so what was up with Kofi Kingston's head?
I don't know.
He looked like the Trix rabbit busted a nut on his hair. Can I say that?
I don't know.
I don't know if I can say that.
You did.
I did. there were no pancakes. I was psyched about that. I was super psyched that we didn't see pancakes tossing while he was skipping to the ring.
It's something they should have done it and then realized that they are throwing it to nobody. And they realize how dumb the gimmick is and then stopped doing it that way.
All right, I would have went with that.
You know, they kept tossing to the stands and then be like, and then look at each other like, what are you throwing this to? There's nobody around. And they'd be like, yeah, why are we still doing this anyways?
Yeah, that would be a perfect way to get out of that. That would be a perfect way to get out of that.
Yeah. That's how I would have done it.
Yeah, I like that.
Some comedy thing between Big E and Kofi when they start tossing. You could just have Big E come down to the ring with him just to kind of, you know, support him in the beginning. You know, he didn't have to stay at ringside, but I mean, and then while they're tossing pancakes, they could have realized, like, they could have done a short little promo, like, who are you throwing pancakes to? There's nobody around. Man, why are we even doing this anyways?
I hope they do that tomorrow night on Raw or next week on Raw. whenever they're done with what they've taped already.
Yeah, we're on SmackDown. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Or SmackDown, yeah. But I thought this was a great match. I mean, look at the three in this. So if you take three of these guys to put in a ladder match, Johnny Moe, Jimmy Uso, and Kofi Kingston. Holy spot fest, Batman.
Yeah, this is a great match.
Yeah.
This one was another one that kind of had suffered from not having a crowd.
Yep.
If someone had a crowd, it would have been probably the best match of the night.
It might have been the best match of the night. It was good. I gave it 4 out of 5 Bibles.
Yeah, it probably would have gotten 5. It probably would have been a 5 out of 5 if they had a crowd.
Or 4.75 at least. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a great match. But yeah, in front of a crowd, this would have been amazing. I would have loved every minute of it. I'm going to go back and watch it again because I was kind of like involved in stuff and talking and doing things. So I didn't give it the full attention I should have gave it. And I loved it as much as I did.
There were a couple spots that were kind of a little cringy.
Yeah.
There was one with Morrison and Kofi where he did a Hurricane Rana and the way, and like Morrison had to like land awkward so that he wouldn't land on the ladder.
Yep.
So there was a couple like that. There was another one where Kofi like jumped and like he was supposed to do a Hurricane Rana there and Morrison had to like catch him before he fell and then just kind of flipped off the ladder to make it look like, but it wasn't very clean.
Yeah.
So a couple just not clean moves. But other than that, you know, but that's a ladder match. You kind of get away with that shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know? That was I did like the John Morrison Ray Phoenix move where he walked across the freaking ropes.
Yep.
Into a Spanish fly. That was pretty freaking sick.
Yeah, that was sick. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, there you go. You know, John Morrison and doing the Starship Pain off the top of the post onto Jimmy Uso on a ladder.
But if you're going to watch a match, if you just pick one match, I'm only going to watch one match from Mania night one. This is the match to watch.
Yeah. I mean, the ending was interesting, kind of an odd way of doing
it. I liked it. I liked how they did that. That was cool.
Yeah. It kind of makes everyone kind of still out looking good.
Yep.
Because no one, you know, they can now, Kofi and Usos can say, you know, Uday and Usos can say that they both cost each other the match that they had it won. You know, I had my hand on it first. Wait, did I have my hand on it first? And they can just battle over who had it first.
Yep. Yeah, and we talked about that. You're like, oh, what are they going to do? How are they going to make the Usos and the New Day still feud if it ends like this? Well, now you just found out your answer.
Yeah, so.
Where we're going to go with this, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, but that was great. And then we went on to Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins. Holy shit, what a match. All I have to say is Kevin Owens jumping off the WrestleMania sign a la Shane McMahon. Holy shit.
Well, supposedly, so I heard a tweet or something like that. He said, he mentioned about his match. He said his original plan was to jump off the pirate ship.
Ha, that would have been nasty.
But he did, but obviously he wasn't at the stadium, so he couldn't do that.
Yeah.
But he would have done it off the pirate ship if they were in Tampa.
Yeah, that would have been dope. So if they were in Tampa, this would have been match of the night.
Probably.
Easily.
Well, because they went to the no DQ. If they did the same way, they did the no DQ kind of restart.
I love that. I love the no DQ, the restart of it, because when it ended, I was kind of like, And then they did that, and I was okay.
Yeah, and I think this was another one that kind of suffered from not having a crowd. Because I think that would have gotten over more.
Oh, yeah. But once they went, I think that's true for the first half of it. But once they went no DQ, it didn't matter. It didn't matter. It was just nasty. It was nasty from there. They just went all out. They left it all in the ring. Yeah. This is everything you expect from Kevin Steen and Tyler Black.
Yeah.
It's everything you expect from Kevin Steen and Tyler Black. But it was Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. And they did it. And it was great. I loved it. I have nothing bad to say about this. And you know I don't like Seth Rollins. So for me to have nothing bad to say about this says something in its own right. I gave this one 4 Bibles. Yes.
Yeah. And in fact, that would make sense because, there's always, all the rumors is that Seth Rollins is taking time off after Mania. So it's a great way to write him off,
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Right off the show for a while. That made sense.
Yep. And then we got Mojo and Gronk hanging out and R-Truth showing up and Mojo Rawley taking the title. Do you have a feeling? I have a feeling that before the end of this weekend, Gronk is going to be the 24/7 champ.
Oh, he's going to win. He'll win it tonight.
Yeah, obviously.
He'll do something again. He'll win it tonight.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, and maybe it's the champion.
Yeah, that's great. Gronk, the 24/7 champ. I mean, the 24/7 European I-95 North and South champion.
Yeah, European television champion.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I-95 South, North,
that was
European television champion.
That was great. I enjoyed that, and I'll enjoy whatever they do with it tonight. It was a needed fun spot after three good matches, two of them incredible. One of them probably would have been incredible if it was in front of the fans, but right. they definitely turned it up for that. And then we get into the Universal Championship match with Brock Lesnar versus
Goldberg
versus Braun Strowman.
Braun Strowman.
I mean.
Yeah, I didn't really like this match. I guess for two reasons. One, it unnecessarily made Braun Strowman look like a monster. Just randomly. And it kind of was like, you could tell it was just like, well, we need to get the belt off Goldberg. So let's just do this.
I think, two things. One, is this just what the Universal title is now?
I think so. Yeah, that's the other thing. It kind of doesn't make the Universal title look very good.
Horrid.
And also, I also think this does not look good for Drew and Brock tonight.
I disagree with you. I disagree with you on that, and I'll tell you why. We'll get into that.
You really think Vince is going to take the belt off both of them?
Yeah, I'll tell you why afterwards. I'll get to that afterwards. But Short and long answer, yes. That's, yeah, I think it, but we'll get into that afterwards. But this match was just shit. Like, also, yeah, this is like Goldberg's last five matches have been this.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Spear, 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 jackhammer win.
Yeah, but this was basically spear, 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 take out, power slam, power slam, power slam, power slam, win.
Yeah.
It's like, like, you basically, wow, what's his name? Ron Strowman basically just no-sold all four spears.
Which I didn't mind.
I suppose, but just like, I don't know, just, it was one of those things of like...
This was Vince getting punched in his mouth for taking the title off of The Fiend to put it on Goldberg for this freaking match. Now you don't even get that match. You know what I mean? Like, you ruined two matches because of your stubbornness. You ruined two matches. You ruined Fiend Goldberg, and then you ruined Braun Goldberg because you did something cute there, which was ended up being stupid, and now caused you to have to do something cute and stupid again at Mania to get the title off of Goldberg, who shouldn't have had the title in the first place. It could have just been The Fiend versus Braun Strowman, and that would have been a nasty match. And
exactly,
if you have Braun beat The Fiend at the end, then it's kind of cool because you made him be a monster.
Exactly. But Vince is dumb and does dumb things, and so... This is what you get.
I gave this minus one out of five Bibles.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing. I'm just dumb.
Yeah, wicked dumb.
Like, just a dumb thing to do, man. You just screwed up everything.
I think Moody's response was awesome. Did you see Moody's in the review? His review, he just put up a picture from 2K. It was like something he found on the internet. Goldberg versus Braun Strowman, five loaded finishers match. I thought that was great. So then we get to the main event, and we get this Boneyard match. Boneyard! Man, that wasn't our compound. That wasn't my cemetery. No. Don't own that. I don't. It's the proprietorship of the Boneyard actually with this Boneyard match. But
this was, I thought this was basically a cross between the Hardy Compound, Bray Wyatt's barn, whatever, Firefly, whatever the hell he calls it.
The House of Horrors match.
Oh, yeah, and freaking the Ghost Rider movie.
Okay.
That's what it kind of reminded me of.
But it was great. It was great. I enjoyed. It was really good. It was really good. And let me tell you this. Let me say this. Let me clarify my point on it. It wasn't great, and it was a great match. I get it. It wasn't really a match. It was a choreographed movie.
Yeah, it's a movie.
It was a little mini movie. That's what it was. It was like.
Right.
But it was great. When I look at WWE television recently, I have not been that invested in a match in forever. I sat on my chair and intently watched the match. You know me, I have ADHD bad, and I'm always doing like nine things at once. I stopped everything and watched that match.
Right, and it was just like to me, it was like, man, I like this version of Taker, too. Like,
it was weird. It was weird hearing him talk in his regular voice and not talking in his Taker voice. Yeah.
But he looked like a freaking... He sounded and, like, just... He looked like a... Just this old-time, like, badass biker guy who could just kill you if he wanted to.
You know what I kind of thought of? You said the Ghost Rider movie. No. I was thinking... The movie with, what the hell was his name? Clint Eastwood. It came out a couple years ago where he was like the old man driving the car and he had a shot.
Gran Torino.
Yeah, yes. I felt that. Yeah, like it kind of had that feeling to it. You know what I mean? And I just pictured Taker's Clint Eastwood's character, you know what I mean? Like getting beat down and coming back, old man, and yeah.
Yeah. Like it was just like I was like, man, where was this Taker like if they did this Taker like 5 years ago, this would have been great.
Dude.
It's just like this old school, like you said, badass freaking old man who just comes around and freaking kicks the shit out of people when he wants to.
This is the Ark of the Covenant of WWE matches. This was amazing. I loved it. And I'm the guy that would normally not like this shit. But I loved it. I thought it was great. You know what I rated this?
10. I thought you did like 10.
No. 5. All the Bibles. Just give it all the Bibles.
Yeah.
Don't care how many there are, but out of 5, give them all the Bibles. You got more, give them to them, because this was amazing. If the House of Horrors match tonight, or night 2, depending on when you're listening to this,
yeah.
If the House of Horrors match in night 2 is anything like this, that match is going to be great.
Yeah, because like it had like none of that. Like I loved the, I knew it was AJ and the hearse as soon as the two Drews came out.
Yeah,
the car. And I was like, oh, that's Gallows and Anderson. Never mind, it's AJ. And then like Taker on the bike driving in. It had the Metallica like song playing too. I was like, oh, is that gonna be his new theme music?
Yeah.
That sounds great. And him just like showing up and like. It reminded me of a movie. Like, it really did. It reminded me of a movie of a guy who just, like, you can't, like, put down. Won't, like, die.
Yeah.
Keeps, like, coming back. I mean, even the part on the, the tractor? Taker, like, appears behind him.
That was great.
Like freaking Rambo.
Yeah, like Rambo in front.
That's what it reminded me of. It reminded me of the Rambo movie where... We're just thinking Sylvester Stallone just pops up behind him with a machete and just, like, kills the guy.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of the whole time. And him, like, just talking to him and telling him. He called AJ by his first name, Alan. He called him Alan.
Yep.
Which I thought was freaking great. But we shouldn't call him Alan. Like, where are you going, Alan? He's like, come on back, man. I thought you had something to say to me.
You go, you sorry? You sorry, Alan?
Yeah. Are you sorry? You feel bad? No. Oh. What's the matter? Does it hurt? Oh, I'm not done. Don't worry. I'm not done with you. But the whole time, he's just like toying with him. Like this guy is just going to, he's just like delaying the fact he's about to kill the bad guy in the end.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing. This proves, I don't know if you know this, but I've already been reading up about this match and what happened. So first off, it took them like 5.5 hours to produce this match.
I believe it.
It was, I'm going to see if I can find the exact thing that I was reading about it. Let me see. Boom, boom. Kevin Owens. No. It's on here somewhere. But basically, The Undertaker you know, Jeremy Borash produced this first.
Yeah.
So that's why it felt so much like the Hardy Compound?
Yeah, because it was just like that.
It was because it came right from that. But so he put this together. They found the graveyard where they did that promo, where they did a promo there. They loved it and decided to go there, and they built that whole set. That whole set wasn't there. That was a built set with those buildings that were put up for it.
And of course, because they have like the fire and stuff coming out of it too. So like obviously it's all staged.
Yeah. But it was good. It was really, really good. They took a lot of time to put that together. And I give them credit for that, because that was really, really good.
Yeah, and I did the whole, like, even the pile of the where they have the druids come out and they suckle them.
Yep.
Like they're going to put them up, whatever. Like I kind of was expecting him to freaking like go, like all of a sudden go into like superhero mode and all of a sudden have these powers and shit and start like killing all these guys. I was thinking like Soul Fighter. I was waiting for his head to turn into a flaming skull he just kills all these guys.
They could have went that route. But I told you it was going to be heavily edited and put together. I kind of expected it, but I didn't expect that. It was really, really good. I think they did a really great job with it. Bravo to them for pulling that off how they did. I very much enjoyed that match. Now, on the other side of that, you said that you are worried about Drew not winning. Vince wants the whole point of this show, and the reason why that match last night ended the way it did is because he wants to send everybody – he wants the show to end on a happy note and for everybody to go home happy. So either that means John Cena buries Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
Or – Drew wins the title, and I think Drew winning the title is the bigger thing.
Well, yeah, Drew should that should be the main event. See, Drew and Brock should be the main event. I think so.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else that you should be doing. It should definitely be that.
Yeah.
But I think this was a great show. I'm very pleased with what I saw, especially with going into it with expectations set so low.
Yeah.
I think they really topped my expectations by actually giving us something that was good and that you could be like, wow, this wasn't that bad. Like I said, it started out like shit. It started out really, really slow, and I was disappointed, and I was like, oh, this is going to be crap. But they like started to pick up at Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, and really took off after that. With the one bring down, which I'm not even totally... As much as I hate the match, I don't hate the spot of Braun Strowman Goldberg. Because it's the...
No, I don't either.
I feel like a show should be a roller coaster ride. I think you start out really strong, and you got to take the fans on a ride through the show. That's what makes a wrestling show really good. If through the entire program, you're taking me on a ride, you start me off on a high with a great match kicking off the show, get me up, get me pumped, get me going. Yes, this is going to be great. And then you have low points. You have points where you come down and you're kind of like, all right, cool. You have your matches that do that. And then I think you got to have your builds back up and your builds back down and your ups and your downs throughout the show. And it's taking you on an emotional roller coaster, so to speak. And at the end of the night, you should be set up with a huge up, then something to cool you down a bit in the middle of it for your final huge up. In order to make that ending incredible, you need a drop down before it. And I think that was the Goldberg Strowman match was the takedown
was needed. I did all that.
But it was good. I'm looking forward to tonight. Tonight we've got Natalya versus Liv Morgan on the pre-show. We'll have Otis versus Dolph. We have Edge versus Orton in the Last Man Standing. We have Aleister Black versus Lashley. We have the women's title, Sasha Banks, Lacey Evans, Naomi, Tamina, and Bayley. And then we have Cena Wyatt in the Funhouse, Ripley Flair, Lesnar, McIntyre. This should be the better half of the card. Street Profits against Garza in theory, too. If you look at it on paper, this should be the better half of the card, I think. I think you got to take Taker Styles and expect it to be on the same production level as what we're going to see in the Firefly Funhouse match tonight.
I would hope so. If they spent that much time on Taker Styles, you'd think they spent the same amount of time on Cena Wyatt.
That's what I'm saying. So I feel like those two are going to be about the same level. If you take McIntyre, Lesnar, and then you take Goldberg, Braun, I think this match is going to be better. I think Flair Ripley is going to be better than Becky Shayna. I think, what else do we have on here? What were the other matches that were Edge Orton? That's going to be on the same level as KO Seth Rollins was, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Ziggler should be decent.
I think, what else do we have on here? I think that the five-way women's match, that will I think that, I really think that's going to be a good match. I don't know if you do. I think that's going to be a good match. I think that can be compared to the Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn. Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn will probably have been a little better than this match, but I already think McIntyre, Lesnar will be so much better than Brock. I mean, than Goldberg, Braun, and Flair. Ripley will be so much better than Becky, Shayna, that even though when we're comparing it like this, there's a little bit more of an edge there on that side, it still doesn't compare to it. And then I think the Profits versus Garza and Theory are going to be close to that Miz Morrison, the Morrison ladder match. It won't be as good again. I think the ladder match will have been better, but I think it'll be closely comparable. It'll be a match that you'll be like, well, yeah, that was almost as good. Not quite, but they put on a great match.
Yeah.
I think Black Lashley will be better than Elias Corbin.
Yeah.
I think Dolph Otis will be better than the Kabuki Warriors and Cross and Bliss.
Yeah.
So, I mean, outside of that pre-show, like, I think it's just going to be an overall better show, which is great because I thought this was great last night. And if this half is better, that's going to be awesome. We're going to be in for an awesome night of action. I mean, you guys are probably going to not listen to this before Mania. You probably won't listen to this until after the night ends because it's 5:30 now. We're going to wrap this up and we'll post this. So you probably will be watching Mania and have watched the second half before you even listen to this. But I think that you're going to listen to me and say, yep, he was right. It was definitely a better night of action. So I'm looking forward to this. I've got myself ready. So my new thing, I got this Midnight Moon moonshine that I buy all the time.
Yeah.
I have apple pie. I have regular. And I got this big bottle of strawberry, right? The strawberry, yeah. I mixed with lemonade, and it is amazing.
Interesting.
It is the awesome summer drink. And if you don't even need a, like, I'm drinking it out of a mason jar, and I put ice in and probably fill it halfway. Two of them, and you're good. Midnight Moon should pay me. I will be their sponsor. They can sponsor us. I don't even need a lot. Just give me some Midnight Moon. Spy me with Midnight Moon. Midnight Moon, you can be a sponsor on this show every week. Are you okay? Or did you? Oh, I thought you just.
No. I said, there you go.
Thought you got killed yourself with some Midnight Moon there.
No.
And they got. You know what's great about it? There's fruit in this. I have a glass right now in front of me. Because, you know, it was 5 o'clock somewhere. And according, you know, Brandi Lauren from Evolve?
Yeah.
She tweeted out a picture of her having a drink and she said, oh, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. Actually, in Quarantineville, it's always 5 o'clock. And I was like, I love this. So yeah, it's always 5 o'clock, but I have a strawberry in here that's been sitting in this jar that looks horrendous, but it's going to taste amazing. But anyway, this was a great night last night. I don't know. What do you think overall? You said a 3 overall you give it?
You guys made it like 2.5 to 3 out of 5. I think you're pretty much right on.
Yeah, that might have been what we gave it.
Yeah, I think you guys are probably right in the area. I'd probably give it right in the same area. 2.5 to 3. It was decent. Some parts were good. I figure, like, the ladder match, there were a couple good matches. Probably, like, 3 really good ones. 2 okay ones. And then the rest were kind of just there. So.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'll say this.
Yeah.
I didn't even hate Michael Cole last night.
Yeah, he was definitely tamer.
Because he doesn't have Vince in his ear.
That's true, too.
No Vince in here, no being told to yell stupid shit that you yell. So we weren't getting all of that. We were getting Michael Cole without Vince, which was great. If we can get more without Vince, it's going to be better.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice to hear JBL too.
Yeah, I think what last night showed us was a few things. One, so in that Taker match, all that stuff they were saying, that was all ad-libbed. None of that was written. They were told to go out there, say whatever you want, and talk a lot. Yeah. That's what Vince wanted in that.
Yeah.
So that was all ad-libbed chatter between the two of them. And that shows me, even some of the match itself. So do you know when Taker's arm bled, it wasn't supposed to happen?
Yeah, I know.
They did two takes of that, and then the first take he didn't bleed, the second take he did, but they thought it looked cool, so they kept it.
Yeah.
So, but they just let them ad-lib. When you let these guys do their thing, they're professionals, they're going to do good. Stop making this so scripted. Stop having Dana worry and tell these wrestlers what they should be doing because she doesn't know what she's doing. She's not a wrestler.
Right.
And it also shows me that when Vince isn't around, we get a better overall product. Not having Vince there was probably the saving grace of Mania.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think those are the two biggest takes from night one. Night two should be amazing. Anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I'm just being kind of interested to see what's going to happen tonight.
Are you working all day tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, back to normal tomorrow.
You have to go to the office?
No, just normal.
So not quite normal. Normal quarantine. Back to normal quarantine tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I'm still working.
Yeah.
I'm doing this at home. I'm still working.
Fair enough. Well, tomorrow, when you're done with your work, we'll do a review of this one. It'll be a little late, so it'll drop later on in the evening. But tomorrow you'll get our review of night two. And, that's where we'll be at. How's that sound?
Yeah.
What match are you looking forward to most tonight?
Probably, I'd like to see what they're going to do with Cena and Wyatt.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. I think Brock versus McIntyre is going to be an amazing match. But I'm interested in what they're going to do with the Firefly Funhouse match. Those are the two that I want to see.
I'm hoping Brock and Drew is actually pretty good. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Firefly on Funhouse. They're going to make it more of like a Funhouse kind of deal, or is it going to be more of like that cheesy House of Horror thing they did with freaking Randy Orton years ago?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Just and so everybody knows, if you're wondering, for the record, right now it's 5-3. I have 5 of my predictions from yesterday correct, and you have 3.
Yeah, well, I don't things change the last second, so.
Plans change, pal. And it's great, because the only thing we agree on tonight, we agree on Sasha, we agree on the Street Profits, we agree on Wyatt. Actually, we agree on Drew, we agree on Ripley. So, you can catch me. You got Dolph. You got Natalia. And everything else were the same. So you got Dolph and Natalia to catch me tonight. If Dolph wins, Natalia wins, we split. We split Mania.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. Well, yeah, that's it. Get ready. Mania's coming at you. You probably, but like I said, by the time you listen to this, you probably have already watched Mania. So once you get off of this one, if it's already after, say, 8 at night, check it out, because our day 2 will be up, and you can check that out too.
Yeah.
So part 1, done. Part 2, about to happen, and we'll have our part 2 for you tomorrow. So you'll see more of us. I don't want to get into too much, because we'll have plenty to talk about tomorrow. Mike, got anything to say before we get out of here?
No, just enjoy Mania, whatever it is you do.
And stay quarantined.
Stay safe, stay quarantined, stay whatever it is you got to do.
Until tomorrow, I'm Sean Puff.
Mike K.
I mean, tomorrow will still be Sean Puff and Mike K, but this is Smarks, Spot Monkeys, And soon. Kicks, and it has been too. Peace out, Boston.